Hey, welcome to Unstable Topics, a fast-paced, jam-packed, unhinged bestie podcast filled with facts, reacts, and made-up games in between.
We're your hosts, Sarah
and Maggie,
and we're excited for you to join our best friend hangout, where we surprise one another with things we find interesting or hilarious just to see how the other will react.
Our friendship might be totally stable, but you never know what your bestie might throw your way to knock you off your game.
So come shake things up, learn something new, and laugh along with us. This is Unstable Topics.
We're making an ad.
Napping ad.
This is where I think if we're doing it right, Alec Baldwin comes in. He says a couple things. Mm-hmm. He listens to the podcast every week. Yep. Has he been canceled? Was Alec Baldwin the one who killed somebody? I hear that Gary Sinise is free.
Oh, okay, great.
He hasn't worked since 2020.
So, what would be the script that we would have Gary Sinise say for the Napping Through Happy Hour podcast?
Listen to this damn show. Damn it.
The Napping Through Happy Hour podcast brought to you by Geekscape.
Real life, real drama, real time.
I'm Gary Sinise.
That's the ad.
Hey, do you have an idea for a podcast but don't know where to start? Or do you have an already existing podcast that you want to take to the next level? Well, check out WeKnowPodcasting.com. From concept development to theme music to editing to logos, WeKnowPodcasting.com is a one-stop shop for all things pod. Don't hesitate to hit us up. We're very nice. Well, let's party!
Oh, it's Jack Black.
Oh, you fucker.
welcome. You know what? I appreciate that you did a Crypt Keeper voice for this episode because one of the first things that jumped out to me when I hit play was, man, the Crypt Keeper's voice changed a lot from the first season to the later
seasons. Yeah, dude. Yeah. I mean, props to John Cassier for keeping it going all those years. But yeah, it definitely took a few changes. Up and down, especially as we got into the mid-90s with, what was it?
Demon Knight.
Demon Knight. Oh, my God. Whoa.
Demon Wind.
Yeah. Which is
a very different thing.
Very different thing. Definitely not as good. I love Demon Knight. Do you like Demon Knight?
Demon Knight's great. I also enjoy Bordello of Blood for
like
what
Bordello,
it is.
I like Bordello, for sure.
It's just a big, dumb movie.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, and sometimes you just want Dennis Leary shooting a super soaker filled with holy water at a bunch of naked vampires.
You do. You like, definitely do. So what is your history with Tales from the Crypt?
So I first learned of Tales from the Crypt from the short-lived Saturday morning cartoon Tales from the Crypt Keeper. And I love that show, but was afraid to watch the real show because I was a scaredy pants as a child.
Dude, good call. That show's like fucking horrifying. Like, I mean, yeah. if just watching those episodes now, I can see there's some shit that will fuck you up. Like,
oh, for sure. Definitely. But I did watch one episode. I watched one episode as it aired. They did an episode called The Third Pig, in which Bobcat Goldthwait played the big bad wolf, and it was like a violent retelling of The Three Little Pigs. And I loved my cartoons, and I love Bobcat Goldthwait.
Yeah.
So I was like, I can give this a shot. Like, what's the worst that can happen? And I enjoyed it. It was weird, but it didn't do any permanent damage to me.
And that was the final episode.
So I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. That was the final episode. And I would think about that episode constantly.
Yeah.
So my freshman or sophomore year of college, I'm walking around Target.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden I see Tales from the Crypt season one on DVD.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck yeah. I'm like, I wonder if that's got that animated episode. And it was only like $10. So I grabbed it. and I watched it, and it didn't have the cartoon episode. But I was like, it's probably in the second season. So yeah. Second season comes out, bought that, not in there. This went on for about the first four seasons before I'm like, all right, I got to find out when the fuck this episode
Yeah.
Then I find out it's the last episode of the series, but I've come this far, and I'm a completionist, so like I'm getting the rest. Yeah, but I mean, any anthology series, I would say the same thing. I love The Twilight Zone, but like, even The Twilight Zone, there's a lot of misses.
Yes.
There's a lot of misses throughout, and Tales from the Crypt is no different. I actually think Tales from the Crypt is one of the few anthology series where it's more like a season miss versus like a specific episode miss. Like I think season two of Tales from the Crypt is almost a flawless season of anthology stories. But then I also think like season six, there's one that's in England. The whole season's in England.
Really?
And that season just does not do it for me. Like, so I think it really like kind of depends what you're into. And like, now it's just like campy ridiculousness.
Exactly. I mean, Tales from the Crypt for me.
Yeah, I was going to say, what is it for you?
I've never sat down and watched it all the way through. And I always attempt, but I've admitted on this show, I'm really bad at TV.
Two bad episodes in a row, it really sucks the wind out of your sails.
I get really distracted and just, I go on to other things. But I distinctly remember my dad used to wake me up for school, and I used to go to a Catholic school, so we'd have to be rolling up in there at like 7 o'clock in the morning, and he would wake me up to get ready for school, and it would be on syndication. And I would watch the episode in their room as I was getting ready, because my parents didn't like shelter me from anything, so I was always aware of the Crypt Keeper, but I didn't watch the show a lot. But there's one episode that distinctly stuck out to me, and it was the episode where Danny DeVito dates twins and convinces them that he has a twin. And in the end, they find out that he doesn't have a twin, but they saw his ass in half. And that final scene of them laying with Danny DeVito's like halved body in each of their beds fucked me up for life.
It's so gory. Like, the stuff that they got away with on this show was so gory. Like, even for HBO, because, like, here's the thing. Like, this is
89. Yeah. The first season is 89. So this is early HBO.
But it's not even just that. Like, I'm thinking, like, yeah, there's some, like, violent, horrific stuff that happens even in modern day HBO with, like, Game of Thrones. Yeah. But I don't think that there's ever been something before or after, like, Tales from the Crypt. Because it is, like, Peter Jackson Dead Alive level.
Yeah,
gore.
And honestly,
you know what I mean? Like, it's really insane.
And there's something that Teddy and I were kind of picking out a couple weeks ago. We've been going through the Texas Chainsaw series, and we watched the first one all the way through, and then started watching the second one, and we decided to make dinner while we were about to watch the second one. And I don't know when the last time you watched Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2 was, but that movie's fucking gross.
Yeah, no, it's a very gross movie.
I love that movie, and I can deal with gore, but there's
But it's not an eating food
exactly.
while watching.
There's something about some of that like late 80s stuff that even when it's campy and it's not supposed to be scary, it's fucking gross, dude.
I think of like Bad Taste. Bad Taste is one of those movies where it's like, it's just so fucking gross.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's there's something about it. Even if it looks super fake, doesn't look real, there's something like, it's oozy, it's wet. It's always wet, and that's...
Oozy's the right word,
yeah,
for
it's
sure.
It's oozy, yeah, for sure. But I absolutely adore Tales from the Crypt. I love the campiness of it. They tried to re-release, or they tried to... revive the comic series a couple years back, and it kind of fell flat and wasn't that great. But I do appreciate the series, and I wish it would be picked up for streaming, because it's definitely... I think it could live another life.
I think
if it
so
was
too.
Picked up for streaming.
But I think the other thing with it is like, I think it's hard to bring back in a sense.
Yeah.
Because like, I know that they've tried that too, but like you said, like, the 50s comics only really work because it was so intense for the 50s. And you're never going to match that in like the 2000s. And I think the same goes with like, I don't know, I think people would be too quick to bitch that it's like, the amount of people who bitch about horror movies being funny and thus they're not good, like,
yeah,
there's going to be some obnoxious assholes that are like, Tales from the Crypt, fuck yeah, like with no understanding of what the show is supposed to be.
Yeah.
And then raising this hoopla about like, it's just gory and silly. And it's like, that's the fucking
point. That was the whole
point. Sit the fuck down. But you know what's legitimately creepy in this?
Yeah.
The fucking Santa mask that they have the Crypt Keeper wearing.
His eyes in that mask, like, they're absolutely perfect. I wish that that was the Crypt Keeper's face, because it's much more horrifying.
Oh, it's so much creepier.
It's than the actual Crypt Keeper.
This is so... I just decided to watch the whole first season today when I went to watch this episode, because it's only 6 episodes.
Good choice, though. I like the first season.
It's all right. This episode is one of the better episodes, yeah, for sure, but I almost feel like its reputation is so strong that it almost takes away from it, because it's like, this doesn't need, like, I like this story, but this doesn't need to be like 25 minutes.
No,
like,
it this definitely is... doesn't. Did you? I don't think I've ever seen the movie.
I have the original movie, and I could not, yeah, tell you how this plays out in it.
Yeah, like, no.
I just can't get into Hammer movies, man. I want to so, yeah, badly, and it's like, yeah, they're gorgeous, but I like, my eyes just glaze over. Like, I put them on, and I'm sitting there, and I'm staring at it, but I don't retain a, like, fucking thing.
Those damn Brits. I can't. Yeah,
I can't do it. I can't do it, man.
But, yeah, I don't think I've ever seen it. I own it, but yeah, as you and I
have the Blu-ray.
Before,
Scream Factory gave us a double feature, yeah, Blu-ray, and it's sitting on my shelf.
We both own a lot of movies we've never watched.
I mean... No, I own a lot of movies that I've watched and didn't remember,
yeah,
at,
okay,
all.
Yeah, okay,
all
right. I own a lot of movies that I haven't watched yet.
They get watched, I just don't retain them.
I watch them eventually.
But I do want to say that the best episode of this season is actually the last episode, Collection Complete, where the guy retires and gets sick of his wife's,
oh,
random,
my God,
pets, and he taxidermies everything that she, every pet that she has, and then she murders him and taxidermies him onto her couch.
If there's anything, I know I said it was the Danny DeVito episode, but if there's anything else that has stuck with me as a kid, it's his taxidermied fucking face. Those, yeah, eyes.
Hey, welcome to Unstable Topics, a fast-paced, jam-packed, unhinged bestie podcast filled with facts, reacts, and made-up games in between.
We're your hosts, Sarah
and Maggie,
and we're excited for you to join our best friend hangout, where we surprise one another with things we find interesting or hilarious just to see how the other will react.
Our friendship might be totally stable, but you never know what your bestie might throw your way to knock you off your game.
So come shake things up, learn something new, and laugh along with us. This is Unstable Topics.
We're making an ad.
Napping, yeah, ad.
This is where I think if we're doing it right, Alec Baldwin comes in. He says a couple things. Mm-hmm. He listens to the podcast every week. Yep. Has he been canceled? Wait, is Alec Baldwin the one who killed somebody? I hear that Gary Sinise is free.
Oh, okay, great.
He hasn't worked since 2020.
So, what would be the script that we would have Gary Sinise say for the Napping Through Happy Hour podcast?
Listen to this damn show. Damn it.
The Napping Through Happy Hour podcast brought to you by Geekscape.
Real life, real drama, real time.
I'm Gary Sinise.
That's the ad. That's the ad. That's the ad.
Oh my God. Dude, it's always the eyes, man. Yeah, I don't know what it was when I was a kid.
It's the bulging eyes, the stitched together mouth, and the fact that there's like cotton and foam coming out from around his face.
Oh, fucking horrifying.
It's so horrifying. But I love it. Like, that's like the one where I'm like, this is what the Tales from the Crypt show is about.
Yeah.
Like, that really kept, because this one's almost too tame for what I think of for Tales from the Crypt.
I agree. Rewatching it last night, because I have watched this multiple times, I think a lot of people have, it is very tame, and you're always waiting for it to go that next step. Like, is he going to kill that little girl? Even the Crypt Keeper says at the end, he's like, nope, he likes older women. Like, and yeah. So it is very tame. I think Larry Drake is awesome, though.
I was going to say, give it up for Larry Drake.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an iconic episode, and my only big note was, it is really nice to just get to listen to Christmas Song in its entirety. Like, That opening is so long.
Such a great opening, though. I love it, you open anything with Christmas song, I'm for it. Just let it play.
I know. There was a certain point where I'm like, there can't possibly be 2.5 minutes worth of credits.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So let's kick this off. We open on Christmas Eve, and you know, Christmas Eve, if there's any time in the world to just murder your husband, I guess Christmas Eve is it, man.
There was something that I never picked up before. Is this actually her second husband?
Yes, because it's not the girl's dad. Because
yeah,
because
the girl's dad refers to him by his name, exactly. And I never caught that before.
Yeah. Like, yeah, the girl calls him Joseph, says, "Good night, Joseph." And it is basically, I mean, I would assume that it's her stepdad. And she basically takes a fire poker and plants it right in his forehead, which is, I think that's a great kind of twist towards this story, which, I mean, I know this was in 89, but we've seen Killer Santa stories up to this point. And yeah. I think it was a cool twist that's not all that's going on here.
No, because she would have been fine if she hadn't killed her husband.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, she had the situation locked down.
Yep.
But then she's like, oh, I need to make it look more like he killed my husband.
Yeah.
And then that's where shit goes wrong for her.
Which I think there's even a way that you can make him look like he killed your husband and then bounce, like roll out of there, like grab your kid. Once you planted the axe in your husband's head, we're skipping ahead here, but basically, like, it's announced on the radio that an insane man in a Santa costume has escaped and he's going around killing people. And basically she's not too worried about it until he shows up at her house. So we've got this weird dynamic where the cops are calling and saying they're going to visit just to make sure she's okay. But her husband's dead body is also laying out on the front step because she murdered him. So she has to decide, does she want the cops to come and protect her and check on her, or does she want to get away with murder? And basically, we've got that dynamic of her fighting Larry Drake, but also trying to hide her husband's body at the same exact time. At one point, she's able to knock Larry Drake, Santa Claus, out with the back of the axe. And then she goes out front with the axe and is basically like, I'm going to make it look like he murdered my husband. Plants the axe in his forehead. Why she goes back inside and then makes the phone call, I'll never know. The cops are on their way.
Yeah, just
scoop
chill.
Your kid and roll out. Or, like you just said, chill. Keep an eye on the body. And when it gets up, then make your move.
Did you recognize who the woman is, by the way?
Mary Ellen Trainer. I did recognize her face.
So listen to this stacked IMDb credits. First of all, she was the mom in The Goonies.
Okay.
Then she was the mom in Monster Squad.
Oh, shit.
She's Sean's mom in Monster Squad. She plays Gail Wallins in Die Hard, then was immediately in Scrooge, then immediately in Ghostbusters 2. So she was in 3 Christmas-themed movies back to back to back.
Dude, she loves Christmas. Is she alive? I don't want to say.
I'll check.
She passed away in 2015.
Oof. Oh, wow. That's 62. That's not a good sign.
No.
Appeared in Lethal Weapon 2 and 3 and 4, was in Back to the Future 2, was in Death Becomes Her, was in Forrest Gump, was in Little Giants, Congo, and the Freaky Friday movie.
That's right! She played Al Bundy's wife in Little Giants. That's where I know her from in my childhood. Like, that's the one that pops out in my head.
It's so wild. Like, I'm looking at this lineup and I'm like, I have seen almost every single movie. Oh!
What?
You ready for all of this to make sense?
Yeah, go for it.
She's Robert Zemeckis' wife.
That makes sense.
It's like, of course. She's Robert Zemeckis' wife and was really good friends with Kathleen Kennedy, who worked with Steven Spielberg extensively and served as the president for Lucasfilm. So, like, she just... I mean, she's a good actress.
Oh,
it's not like,
she's a good actress.
But yeah, that makes sense why she was almost exclusively only in heavy hitter films. Was like, her husband was one of the biggest directors of the 80s, and her friend was like the head of the biggest production company of the 80s. So, like, you didn't have to slum it in a bunch of, like, random indie films here and there.
I mean, you know who the husband is, though, right?
Well, he's, like, the producer of one of the seven producers of Tales from the Crypt.
Well,
the husband in the... I'm sorry. I'm like, yeah, I know who Robert Zemeckis is.
No, doing. No, the husband in this.
No.
That's Marshall Bell. That's Coach Snyder from Nightmare on Elm Street 2.
There it is. And he's, man. Another stacked, as I'm looking at this filmography, Freddy's Revenge, Manhunter, Stand By Me.
Yeah, dude. Total Recall.
Yeah, Total Recall. He's Quado. Total Recall. Twins, Dick Tracy, Oscar. I mean, he's not like starring roles in any of these.
No, but I mean,
Innocent Blood, Silence of the Hams.
Yeah, he is very much a character actor, but I mean,
Airheads. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Man, I wish Airheads was technically a Christmas movie.
Oh, my God. I could definitely cover a lot when it comes to Airheads. But he's the cop, remember? He's the one that finds out that Brendan Fraser's name is Chester. And he's like, Chester.
So.
The ending's fun.
The ending is a lot of fun. It's the only line of dialogue that Larry Drake has. Are you naughty? Oh, nice.
So have you had the pleasure of meeting Larry Drake?
I have never met Larry Drake, and I guess I don't have a chance now.
Yeah, unfortunately he has passed away. I didn't get a chance.
But Dr. Giggles is like one of my absolute favorite
slasher films. Never
seen it. Dr. Giggles is so, you know what? I know we keep trying to plan you coming out this way. I think Dr. Giggles is in your future.
Okay.
When you come here.
I'm down to watch it. Dr. Giggles and cheesesteaks, if we can make that happen, man. I'm for it.
But yeah, I mean, I think the problem, and we said it early, and it kind of shows in our description of it too, is like the setup and the punchline is there. And then it's like, well, what do we do with these other 10 to 15 minutes that we have?
Definitely. I mean, there's nothing special about the episode once you get to the meat of it.
And it's like just so many killer Santa movies and so many killer, like,
yeah,
it's almost a trope that I'm like pretty sick of at this point, just because, like, as we learned a couple weeks ago with like American Horror Story, like there's only so many ways to make it interesting anymore.
Yeah. Like, it's, and I think that's why, like, as much as you and I talk bad about like Better Watch Out, I appreciate that they tried to do something different with their Christmas horror. There's no shortage of Christmas horror movies, especially in 2021. No. And I appreciate the ones that do something a little different. And I do like the differences that this had. But by 1989, we still already had too many killer Santa movies.
Yeah, no. I mean, I think that it's... Honestly, people... dying during Christmas is a novel enough idea.
Yeah.
I guess Silent Night, Deadly Night is the biggest one to blame in a sense. Because while like Christmas Evil existed, Christmas Evil never feels truly like a killer Santa movie.
Yeah.
To me. Like, it's more about like a mentally unstable man who's playing Santa, but it's not like... Silent Night, Deadly Night added this whole element of like naughty or nice being a motivating factor in the killer Santa.
Yeah.
And it's like, like that's cool the first two or three go arounds, but like how many times can you make that you can't make that interesting 20 times.
Yeah, like, and I'd be curious to was that a factor here? I mean, cuz I would maybe Larry Drake's character would have murdered her regardless. And he just really liked to say naughty or nice at the end.
He knows how to play a good, like this is a really great performance of like a borderline mime crazy person.
Yeah.
So
it's hard because I don't know what he's like in Dr. Giggles, but Larry Drake has such an expressive face that you constantly do want him to say something.
Oh, he talks a lot.
And I'm very excited for that. And as much as I do like End All Through the House, I feel like we almost wasted Larry Drake.
No, for sure. You know, we wrap it back up.
Yeah.
That creepy fucking Santa mask is laying on the ground in the crypt.
Yep.
We pan over the crypt keeper and he has a couple zingers. I can't remember any of them. And then we get that iconic closing instrumental from Danny Elfman, and the show is done.
Are there any other Christmas episodes?
I don't think so.
Which is weird, especially because this was the second episode in the season and it came out in June.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite episode of Tales from the Crypt?
Ooh, a favorite episode of Tales from the Crypt. I don't think so. Here's what I'm going to do, Matt. I'm going to check back in on that. I think over the Halloween season, I'm going to watch all Tales from the Crypt. Just something to do, something different that I haven't done before. And I'll report back with my favorite episode. But Matt, dude, have we got a loaded October for these
people? It's
going to
be a good one.
It's definitely going to be a good one. And Matt, Merry Christmas, buddy.
Merry Christmas, Dylan. Whoa, oh, whoa, oh, now we won't stop till the big ball drops on New Year's. Happy holiday, have a great, great, great holiday, have a merry, 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 happy holiday.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.
Hey, welcome to Unstable Topics, a fast-paced, jam-packed, unhinged bestie podcast filled with facts, reacts, and made-up games in between.
We're your hosts, Sarah
and Maggie,
and we're excited for you to join our best friend hangout, where we surprise one another with things we find interesting or hilarious just to see how the other will react.
Our friendship might be totally stable, but you never know what your bestie might throw your way to knock you off your game.
So come shake things up, learn something new, and laugh along with us. This is Unstable Topics.
We're making an ad.
Napping ad.
This is where I think if we're doing it right, Alec Baldwin comes in. He says a couple things. Mm-hmm. He listens to the podcast every week. Yep. Has he been canceled? Was Alec Baldwin the one who killed somebody? I hear that Gary Sinise is free.
Oh, okay, great.
He hasn't worked since 2020.
So, what would be the script that we would have Gary Sinise say for the Napping Through Happy Hour podcast?
Listen to this damn show. Damn it.
The Napping Through Happy Hour podcast brought to you by Geekscape.
Real life, real drama, real time.
I'm Gary Sinise.
That's the ad.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.